What's going on, Rebels? I'm Alex.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Cisco.
And we are the Black Series Rebels, and you're listening to the BSR Show. This week, we are talking about Vanity Fair, the boy Anthony Bresnikan, and of course, Star Wars Celebration.
It's Steve. You know, it's been a while since we had an episode out, a couple of weeks. I just want to say thank you so much for supporting the show. You know, since we're back and it's the first time all of us are here together in the same room in who knows how long, maybe extra like this episode. Maybe leave, I don't know, 8 or 10 stars, even if there's only 5 allowed. Just would you like us, please?
We desperately need it.
In your heart, it can be 10 stars.
Yes. I'll settle for 2.5, 3.
You're probably wondering why all of our voices are so buttery smooth now. It's because for the first time in 2 years, we are all recording together in the same room. And it's pretty wild. We're still getting used to it. Steve's cut his whole morning zoo setup. It's a whole scenario.
You guys have no idea how amazing it is.
It actually is pretty great. We've got a beach towel.
I'm freaking out.
Oh my god, this is gonna be all day. All day. Zero takes. Zero takes on anything, but we got sound effects. You know, before we jump into all the great, I mean, we got a lot of really great Star Wars news to talk about today, which is, it's been a while, I feel like, since we've had, even with Book of Boba Fett, I don't know that we were particularly talking about it a lot as much as when it came out, we started talking about the episodes as we watched them. But I don't think it's any coincidence, and I think it's really cool that 2 years after we've been able to record in the same room, we're here, we get to talk about that stuff. But even more so, you know, Star Wars Celebration is coming up, and we are, talk about out of the fire into the frying pan. The first time we've ever been in the same room together, a week later, we're going to be in a room with 400 people at Chain Reaction, giving out pins to the first 150 people that show up. Now, we are a part of what's called Mosh Eisley, hosted by Thank the Maker, Armor Potty. Armor Potty.
Is that like a ready for that commercial?
Sorry, they're called Armor Party.
We're taking it on the road with us.
Yeah. Oh, it's not vacation. Like a... I thought it was like a traveling potty.
Here's the truth. They are called Armor Party, but I'm now calling them Armor Potty.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Princess and Scoundrel.
Sponsored by Armor Potty.
Oh, boy. We're fucking... This is what happens when we get in the same room. There goes all the focus. Dano Channel, Princess and Scoundrel. There's a bunch of really cool folks hosting this big event. Now, obviously, at Star Wars Celebration Chicago, we did like a baby version of this with just Nick before he was doing Thank the Maker. And then Nick has gone on to become, you know, maybe the biggest name in Star Wars podcasting for all I know. And, you know, Nick hit us up and was like, hey, we're doing some stuff at Chain Reaction. Do you guys want to be a part of it? And I said, listen, you know, we're pretty low key now. We're trying to, you know, just kind of do this for us. Not so much being super, super, super involved and everything else. We just really want to be in touch with our listeners and hang with people that we really get along with. And to be honest with you, this just sounds like the type of place where those people are going to be. So we put together, like we did for Celebration Chicago, we've got a bunch of exclusive pins. Those will be announced on social media. We're not going to do that on the show. We have one pin that will be available for the first 150 guests that show up at Chain Reaction. It is fully sold out. So they are doing a ticket buyback and resell if people can't make it and there are people that are trying to go. But we will be there. If you are in line and you are part of the first 150 people in line, you will receive a Black Series Rebels pin that will only be available at Mosh Eisley and then potentially later on the internet after if we have any left over. My guess is that we won't. And then the three of us will also have two exclusive action figure inspired pins from a part of Star Wars that's very near and dear to me, but we will be announcing that on social media. All that is to say, we're super excited to see you all at Celebration. It's going to be a blast. We're keeping it a little more low-key this Celebration. You know, my best friends and buds over here, they both have two lovely children now. I believe Tony was on the way when we were doing Star Wars Celebration Chicago.
Yeah, very close to being born, actually.
And
yeah,
they both were.
And Harper was close to being born. Mm-hmm. So we're just in different places right now. So I think we're going to enjoy Celebration in our own kind of fun, personal way. I think for me, before we get into all the Star Wars news, I'm just excited to reconnect with it in kind of a meaningful way. It's been a while since I've kind of engaged in Star Wars. I mean, it's funny to be talking and doing this show in this space that isn't surrounded by Star Wars stuff, because we were doing it in the Chatsworth, right? Like, we were surrounded by Star Wars shit. And, like, it had this kind of, like, obsessive energy is not right, but we were real deep into it at that time. And now it's going to be fun to go to Celebration just kind of as, I mean, I feel a little like Kenobi, like we're hermits and we're kind of like reemerging.
Yeah, it feels a little like we've been isolated on a little desert island for a while and we're reemerging.
Yeah. How do you feel, Steve?
I feel good, man. You know, I know that there's been a couple times over the last couple of months where I've been like, hey, you know, I watched Solo or I watched Rogue One or I watched whatever, and, you know, I'm liking it again. Anyways, in regards to what we're about to talk about, you know, I woke up very early on the morning that it dropped, and I read the whole article, the first one that dropped, and it was really early in the morning, and I was smiling. I was excited.
That's awesome.
You know, it was like between that and Celebration being next week and having just recently done a giveaway a couple weeks ago where I linked to our Celebration videos to kind of let's get hyped for Celebration. I went back and kind of scrubbed through that, and it just...
Still funny.
It's, well, not only that, it's just is like a time capsule of a moment.
George is never not funny.
No, George is never not funny, but just a time capsule of a moment for... Obviously, pre-pandemic and sort of the culmination of this thing and whatnot, but really just sort of this us, the show, you know, and looking back on it. And it just made me really happy and really proud of what we've done.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to be stoked on. You know, I feel like these episodes are getting more and more, I think we're starting to open up more as people a little bit on the show in ways that we haven't in a while. And maybe that's just because we're kind of in some way, I don't know, protected by how, you know, kind of daunting the last couple of years have been. And I feel like I'm starting to come a little out of my shell again in a way. I was starting to feel a little guarded when we would do this. I would feel like I couldn't really say how I was feeling, or I didn't want to upset anyone, or, you know, it just feels like we're coming into a new phase of this a little bit. And I'm really excited to talk about Star Wars stuff today, because I am fucking love Star Wars. But before we do that, I want to check in with everybody. Cisco, I haven't seen you in the same room. I've seen you in person, but
outdoors.
Outdoors.
As we drop things off.
Everybody's provided each other various items.
Yeah.
How have you been, buddy?
I've been good. It's been so busy, man. It feels like we're going nonstop getting ready for our vacation and all the other stuff that's been going on. And
you excited?
Yeah, I'm like nervous and excited, but definitely excited. It's gonna be a lot, dude.
The whole itinerary, you don't need to get fully into it, but where are you most excited to go?
I think Italy, honestly. Yeah, and that's the end of our trip.
And where in Italy are you going?
We're gonna go to Rome, and I think we're going to Naples. I think we're spending 4 or 5 days in Italy.
Awesome. Incredible.
Awesome.
What are you the most excited to eat in Italy? Ugh,
man, I was just thinking,
cause you don't really fuck with cheese, but in Italy, you know, you're just like, fuck it, I'm going to
pizza, bro. Pizza and pasta. Honestly, we were just looking at like stuff. Stacy was finding some different things, and I was just like, I'm ready for all of that. Give me some prosciutto and bread. That's like all I want. Cisco's, just give me Cisco's bread be and fucking sauce. Just
cacio e pepe everywhere he goes.
Bread, sauce, and ham or bacon.
Yeah.
I'm good to go.
Gelato.
Oh, yeah. I love gelato.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be like hanging out at the beach. Should be nice weather-wise. So it should be a more relaxing. I think we're going to be doing a lot the beginning of the trip, and so the end should be a little more relaxing, I hope.
Well, that sounds awesome. you know, we'll miss you while you're. When do you take off?
We're leaving the 4th, I believe.
Oh yeah, so basically right after Celebration, you'll be off.
Week after.
Well, you'll have to catch us all up. You know, why don't we strap like a mic pack to you, like we did at a Celebration Chicago?
No, that's why I got this new phone.
Make content.
Take good pictures.
There you go,
Steve. How you been, buddy?
I'm great. Other than being excited about what's going on in the news of Star Wars, I'm good. I haven't been working. I've been off. But I've been having to get the. We're having some construction done at the house here in June. And so I've been utilizing this time. I got to empty out the attic above our bedroom. So that's just been a trip down memory lane.
Pizza oven's getting built?
No pizza oven yet. Can't afford that yet. I need bedrooms first. And so I've just been going down a trip down memory lane and, you know, super excited for Top Gun and rewatch Top Gun, rewatch What About Bob? Love that. but I got a recommendation I got to just throw out there to everybody. I know I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. I've been watching this show called The Offer. It's about the making of The Godfather. All of a sudden, I've basically just been in a nostalgia bomb and now a full on deep dive in the making of The Godfather. I'm staying up all night listening to this audiobook called Leave the Gun, Take the Cannoli.
Now, it's literally
like crazy history about it.
Are you now able to admit that The Godfather is a better saga than The Karate Kid? Because you've been trying to convince Cisco and I of that for the last couple of years.
Come on. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy.
You dick.
That's like a little...
No, but seriously, guys. The Karate Kid. I mean, it's just so deep.
It's better. It's technically more of a saga, if you ask me.
Yeah. All that stuff in Italy.
Do you want to remind people what this is a callback to?
I don't know that we've ever talked about it on the show. Basically, for like 2 years straight, Cisco and I gave Steve shit that The Karate Kid was a better saga than The Godfather because there were more Karate Kid movies and because Godfather 3 was so bad. That Karate Kid trumped it. And then now with Cobra Kai, because in the Cobra Kai tagline, it's like the Karate Kid saga. We've basically been given Steve the shit for fucking 2 years. And one day he finally just lost it. He was like, I won't listen to this Godfather blasphemy anymore. He fucking lost it.
I have not been able to get into the current season of Cobra Kai, man. I tried and it is
same.
It's rough.
Same.
It's
I've loved the show so far. Up until this current season or the most recent, it was season 4, right?
I think its quirks have kind of caught up to it. You know, it has a very specific tone and flavor, and
I think for me I've always sort of been able to like handle the level of cheese in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's going on with the current season, but a number of episodes in, I'm just like, it feels like it's gone a little too far beyond. Like it's jumped the shark a little bit.
It's a little like karate gangs all over the valley, like fighting all over the valley. Like if I'm remembering correctly, it was like, it's very like, don't swing by the Gelsons in Laurel Canyon because a karate battle could fucking happen.
I don't even mind that. It's like... Oh God, Tori just really bothers me.
Is Tori the Cobra Kai bully?
Yeah, the
bully. So same with Hawk.
Yeah, but
they
Hawk
both just got a little too like okay.
Hawk was, but then I think
Mohawk just keeps getting higher and higher.
Yeah, the Mohawk is crazy, but I think that character wise, it's kind of toned down a little bit in this season. Last season was like a little much, but man, Tori is like she's cartoony at this point. It's like that's not a real person anymore.
It's been a while since I watched the latest season, but I think I've just kind of come to the decision that I'm like, that is exactly what that show is always going to be. And it's like, if you feel like spending, you know, the 6 hours to watch all of it or whatever, you can take that time.
Yeah.
You know, I think what's, you know, to kind of bring this back, I know we wanted to talk a little bit about Doctor Strange. Do we want to do a quick, like, around the horn, what was your gut impression? Because, you know.
Well, first of all, I just want to say something. Guys, this might be the first Marvel movie I saw before either of you.
I know.
This might be the first Marvel movie that we all agree on.
It might be. It might be.
Which is like maybe is saying something. I don't know.
It truly is the multiverse of madness right now.
It is. I think, you know, I don't want to get into it. This is, people have been arguing about this movie for the last two
weeks. I'll just kick it off. It just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, it didn't do it for me.
I don't need to shit on it. It just didn't do it for me.
Super duper okay.
Yeah. I think that's like a really like, I found myself just kind of like waiting to be excited in the theater. You know what I mean? I just felt nothing is not, that's too harsh a word, but like, you know, when just like the juice ain't worth the squeeze, you're just like, all right.
What was your favorite moment?
Honestly, my favorite moment was the octopus fight in the beginning.
Same. The eyeball.
The eyeball. When he stabbed the eyeball out, it was sick.
That was the best part.
Yeah. Krasinski for me.
That was like, if you've been like ready for that, that I think is cool.
Literally just Krasinski. Did you feel though?
Did you feel pain for him when he was reciting his dialogue? Because that's the, and this is as critical as I'll get about the movie. If you haven't seen it yet and you don't want anything ruined,
well, it's already too late.
Well, and you haven't been on the internet or what have you. But just in case you're like, motherfuckers, I don't go on the internet.
I wanted to catch it 3 weeks after.
God bless you. Fast forward, we'll be talking about Star Wars in 3 minutes. The most painful thing for me was Krasinski and Patrick Stewart, two of the slam dunk, lowest hanging fruit, easiest fucking cameos in the history of the MCU to do. And it just totally fucking just bounces off. And the actors are struggling and look like they don't even comprehend what the fuck is coming out of their mouth.
So
and this
things.
Is as harsh as I'm going to be right now. And it really bummed me out.
I think it's unfortunate to say, but Patrick Stewart's old.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's an old guy. So it's, everything that he did in Logan, that was 7 years ago now. What was it? 7 years, something like that. I mean, he was old at that point.
The beauty of doing this live.
And you could tell that he was, you know, like there's a reason why that character was played that way. You know, he was struggling throughout the whole thing. And so it kind of like makes sense.
2017.
So 5 years ago. And so, you know, obviously they were probably there for like a day to shoot. And so it didn't rub too hard for me. And I think with Krasinski, the reason why it didn't is because Reed Richards is such a robot anyway. Like that's his whole thing. He's just like an analytical, like robotic scientist that being emotive would have felt weird anyway. So I didn't mind him. The rest of the movie is like very blah for the most part. And so it was cool to finally see him as Reed Richards. Whether or not we'll ever get to see him again as Reed Richards or not, I just thought it was really cool. I don't like that.
So the reason I looked this up, Daniel Craig, he was originally playing a cameo, not Reed Richards. He was playing some character I've never heard of before.
Go back real quick. I want to just read the headline from the one that you clicked on. Go back.
Which one?
Just go back to the Google page. It says, Doctor Strange 2, Daniel Craig suits up as Reed Richards in jaw-dropping new engine. Jaw-dropping is a perfect way to describe it because it's horrible. It's a horrible image.
I really like that Hawkeye guy.
It's like he's got a beard. That looks like a combination of like a magician.
Look at this lineup, though. Look at that lineup.
He looks like a circus magician. he looks like either a circus magician or like a Doctor Strange's stunt double. It looks very strange. And then he's got a little flat top. I don't like it at all.
Okay.
Well, it looks like that weird meme.
It's supposedly Reed Richards, but that wasn't supposed to be the thing.
I don't even know what this is.
I clicked on some dumb clickbait. It doesn't matter.
Was he going to be Wolverine?
No, he was supposed to play.
I just don't care.
I know. I'll cut this.
It's okay. Well, then I think Sam Raimi confirmed that he really wanted Tom Cruise to cameo as Tony.
Oh, really?
You know, that was like the prior to all of the MCU becoming.
He was supposed to play Baldur the Brave, and that basically he dropped out at the last second, didn't want to fly from London because it was COVID was popping up, and literally Krasinski was thrown in at the last second.
And also, with all due respect to Baldur the Brave, no one cares about that character.
I don't know who it is. You know,
that everybody wants to see. I know. I was like,
I derailed the show. I apologize.
No, it's fine. I just thought he looked cool, and it was cool to finally see it materialize. Now, was it good? Debatable, but I just thought I liked seeing him on the screen.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the cameos. I thought, you know, I think actually the best cameo is the X-Men theme song playing while he comes out.
Yes.
That's probably my favorite actual moment of the movie. I was like, that's cool. That's cool.
And
to
then
know
he's dressed up like the,
like, the cartoon and he's got his little like yellow chair and all that stuff was super cool. I think for me, it was just kind of a convoluted mess of a story. It was like, and just because it's supposed to be madness in the multiverse or the multiverse, that's not an excuse for structurally just being all over the place.
I said this in our like group chat and I stand by it. I think that Sam Raimi's tone isn't a good fit for the current MCU.
Fair.
And it has nothing to do with him not being a talented filmmaker. I love Spider-Man 1 and 2. I love the Evil Dead trilogy. I just don't know that movie and the tone fits in this current version of the MCU that we have right now. Personally, that's just my opinion.
Well, we got it in. We talked about the Marvel thing. And I think there's probably a show here in the near future where maybe we do like a state of the union on how we're feeling about some of these like things. Cause I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming.
Love and Thunder coming pretty soon.
Love and Thunder. I'm honestly, I'm like
very excited.
I'm very excited for Love and Thunder. I'm like, yeah. And Taika, listen, trust Taika.
I am here for ripped Natalie Portman.
Yes.
I love the guns.
Yes.
I sent my wife a picture of her, not the one that just came out with her and Tessa Thompson, but the old one that was the leak. And she literally was like, that can't be her. I was like, no, that's her. She's ripped.
Yeah, they just got, it's nothing but pull-up bars in Asgard. Like everywhere they go, it's shoulders. Like when you walk into a room, you got to do a pull-up.
Yeah, I'm excited for that movie.
She's doing straight up hammer curls, bro.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. All right. I know there's a lot of people that are excited to hear us chat about what we're going to chat about. And it wouldn't be a show without me asking this question. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, Alex?
What's going on this week in Star Wars news? All right, we're here. Steve, what do we got? Hit me with all the Star Wars news.
That was a crazy flashback. I feel like I'm in 2019 again.
Somebody gets Cisco an iPad and a bunch of Pichios and a Lakers game to watch on his phone while Steve and I are on hour three complaining about fans.
Ignoring Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Cisco going, why are these guys
Cisco's
so upset?
Trying to watch a Lakers game. Guys, we got a lot of Star Wars news. For the first time, we're in a room together, but also for the first time, you guys can actually see all the notes I made. By all means, we do not need to talk about all of this, but let me tell you.
Steve has a 12-page PowerPoint presentation pulled up for us.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
What's hilarious about that is that you've got 12 pages of Star Wars news, but what they don't know is that we recorded 10 minutes of this episode without you hitting record.
It's true. Why you got a narc on me, bro?
Got you.
Jeez. Had to happen.
You dick.
Got you.
Damn.
All right.
Damn.
All right. Why don't we go down announcement by announcement, and we'll give gut checks, and then let's end on Kenobi.
Yes. Okay.
Because that's the one that I think is probably what we're all the most excited for. So, Andor.
So, Anthony Bresnikan, you know him. If you don't, he's been on our show a few times. Maybe try and find the videos or listen to it somewhere. He did his big Vanity Fair piece. He had full access. It was a breath of fresh air to read about Star Wars news from a journalist and a publication. And You know, he dropped this first article for Vanity Fair called The Rebellion Will Be Televised. And it goes over, like, all the shows, obviously, leading into Kenobi and just sort of the plan for Star Wars and Lucasfilm. First up, Andor. You know, it basically starts off talking about Diego Luna in Mexico City being driven on a freeway and getting a phone call and really struggling with, like, how to communicate on the phone. He definitely didn't want to say Star Wars. You know, just kind of a personal anecdote. It's cute, whatever. Main thing I'm excited about is he's referring to Andor as an immigrant story. The series will explore Andor's backstory, revealing what drew him into the Galactic Rebellion and how he evolved from a self-serving nihilist into a selfless martyr. You know, for Tony Gilroy, you know, he's back. He basically came in and is known for having sort of tweaked and added to Gareth Edwards' Rogue One and sort of really brought it home. He's the showrunner on this thing. He's writing it. And he's just like, look, the guy gave his life for the galaxy, right? He's like, he did it soberly and without vanity and recognition and sacrificed himself. Who does that? He's like, that's what the first season's going to be about. It's about him sort of really, you know, revolution averse and cynical and lost and kind of a mess. Begins with the destruction of Andor's birthplace and Mon Mothma. Will also have a big part in it and run parallel to the Andor character. They kind of describe it as a Dickinson ensemble cast. So, God, this feels like the old show and like I'm reading an iPad. but what do you guys think? Are you excited for Andor? I got to tell you, I didn't really think too. I was down to see it. I never really thought too much about what it would be. But I'm in.
How you feeling, Cisco? What do you feel about Andor?
I was in from the announcement.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Diego Luna, and I love the character Cassian Andor. So I think I was more excited for this show than I was for Obi-Wan for a long time, to be honest. I was kind of on the fence about Obi-Wan, even though I love Ewan as Obi-Wan. I didn't know what that show was going to be about. I didn't know if it was going to be interesting to me or not.
Necessary, like, do we need it? Maybe, sure. Like, yeah.
But learning more about Cassian Andor was something that I always was excited about after Rogue One because I love Rogue One so much. So I'm super excited for that. I like that description of what the show is set up to be. And I really just can't wait, man. I think Diego is such a talented actor, and I'm so glad that he's reprising his role as a character that I really liked and, you know, I think a lot of people really connected with and, you know, had a too short of a stay for my taste. So I'm glad that we're getting more of him.
I think that more for me, there's more pressure on Andor to be good than there is Obi-Wan, because I think Obi-Wan has a little bit of the, like, Ewan's coming back. We're going to have Vader. We're going to have lightsabers. We're going to have baby Luke. We're going to have probably Yoda. I know we're going to talk more about this in the Kenobi section. We're probably going to have Jar Jar and some, we're going to get a lot of prequel goodies in Kenobi, but also a lot of original trilogy goodies. They're setting that up clearly, but
it's almost like it doesn't matter if it's good or not.
Yep.
That there's going to be a certain group of people that are going to be like, it's great. Even if it's bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or even if it's just okay.
Yeah.
It'll probably be great. But, you know, it's got, I think what you're getting at is a good point, is that it's got legacy on its side.
Yes.
It's got that. And I think that it's also got something we haven't had in a while, which is a consistency in terms of spoon feeding us material. We now have, after this 3-year hiatus, not just from, you know, COVID, but we've gotten 2 seasons of Mandalorian, and we've gotten this first season of the Book of Boba Fett, and it's sort of starting to retrain us into eating our Star Wars this way. And now we've got quite a bit of roadmap in terms of content coming out. Mm-hmm. And I think that has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah. I think that it's very clear that, the powers that be at Lucasfilm and Disney have decided that right now Star Wars is thriving in the television space. It's thriving. It is carrying the franchise. And you can just tell by this Vanity Fair cover that they are putting all the eggs in the Disney Plus basket right now. And I think at Celebration, we might get some movie news. I think that that's probably going to happen. I think this, though, is should maybe be preparing fans a little bit. I think the focus. Yes. I think that this is... there's a very clear reason to throw Diego Luna, Ewan McGregor, Pedro Pascal, and Rosario Dawson on the cover of Vanity Fair, and you write Star Wars, The Rebellion Will Be Televised, 1 week before Star Wars Celebration. So I just... all of the people out there listening that are like, oh my God, we're going to get a look at Taika's new movie, or maybe we're going to get the name of Kevin Feige's trilogy, or maybe we're going to get a surprise trailer for the Rogue Squadron movie. I think it's pretty safe to say that this is going to be the focus of Celebration. And just to kind of circle back a little bit to Andor, just to piggyback kind of on what you were saying, Cisco, about kind of already being in. I have a feeling Andor is going to be the most daring of all of these shows. I think there's the least amount of pressure on it. It can explore interesting themes. It already sounds genuinely, I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound like anything we've gotten before. Yeah. And I genuinely think that if that movie, if that show is successful, for me personally, I've liked the shows. They haven't grabbed me in the way that the movies do. I've been very kind of vocal about that on the show. But seeing this, I feel like I'm getting excited, but it's because of how they're now positioning it. It's like, all right, this is the direction, and we have a thing, and this is what we're going to do, and it makes me very excited. I have a feeling Andor is going to be weird, and it's going to be different and fun.
Yeah.
And, you know... I hope they feel emboldened to try things on Disney Plus.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm kind of hoping for is that we get to see some actual new locations for like the majority of the show.
Yeah.
You know, like seeing some corners of the galaxy that haven't been on the shows yet and have maybe been just like briefly referred to in a lot of ways, and just kind of like a different look.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what I'm excited about.
There's been it's funny because I think by the end of Book of Boba Fett, it was kind of the joke, which is like, please, dear God, no more Tatooine. And it's like, well, Obi-Wan's coming up and he might not leave that planet for the entire show. I'm right there with you. Like the stuff in Obi-Wan that looks super exciting to me is that water planet with the big like castle or whatever that thing is. And then obviously, you know, we're going to Mustafar. We're going to go to Vader's castle.
Yeah.
Like, If that is Coruscant, that like Blade Runner-y looking city,
looks cool. Yeah,
all that stuff looked exciting. But I'm with you. Like, I think the bigger and more exciting we can make the galaxy is going to make Star Wars feel fresh and new, and I think kind of revitalized. But even more so, I actually just rewatched Rogue One.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic, and also, it's a fucking beautiful movie.
Yeah. For all of the behind the scenes stuff that went on with that movie, for it to come out the way that it did is low key a miracle. Because there's another movie that went through similar shit that did not end up as good.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I'll just say the thing that has me most excited that it's going to piggyback off of you talking about the look of the film and just everything. You know, and this is nothing. I love Gareth Edwards, and I can tell that he brought a lot to it. And really, I think Gilroy, being as seasoned as he is, really brought something else to it too. It's a little tactile and a little just sort of, you know, you look at his resume here, and it's like the dude wrote Bourne Identity. You know, the Michael Clayton was a consultant on House of Cards. Like, it's a little more dramatic. It's a little more dark. It's a little more gray. It's a little more adult.
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to be a little less, and this is not a dig on Boba Fett, it's going to be a little less comic booky, like, and campy. I don't, it can't be.
Intentionally.
And I think
campy,
it's
going to
be a little, I think it's just going to be a little bit more PG-13.
You know, I think, you know, as you mentioned, things like it's going to be a little more campy, a little, you know, I'm hesitant to use the word gritty with Disney Plus and Star Wars, because I just don't see a world where we're going to be getting that. Like,
it's not going to be like the Netflix Marvel shows.
No.
It's not going to be like violent, but I think there'll be a certain level. I think it'll be above. That's the wrong word to choose, but yeah, it'll be to a different level of sort of
maturity or intense themes or intense visuals.
I think it'll just fit right in with what Rogue One already set up.
I think so,
and
too.
And maybe even what they're doing with Obi-Wan. You know, we don't know what that show's going to be really, but it looks like it's going to have some intensity to it from the trailers that we've seen.
I think Obi-Wan will have one foot in, like, the Mandalorian Boba world and one foot in the Rogue One world and sort of bridge that gap between tone, personally, between dramatics, because there'll be humor.
I can see
there'll
that
be more humor.
But Rogue One
has some great humor in it.
But I don't mind humor. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, you know, using humor as like a negative is sort of,
yeah,
it's not, we like humor in Star Wars. You know, all Star Wars has humor. It's
part of its DNA.
But it's when it's not reined in enough.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say I would plan on Kenobi feeling more like the Clone Wars and the prequels and Rebels.
Watch them, so I don't know what that's
like. Yeah, I would assume it's going to kind of live in that space.
I would also say, just to swing back to the humor thing, I don't think that the humor was the problem with the Book of Boba Fett.
No,
or any of the stuff in Mandalorian. The stuff that we take issue with in those shows has nothing to do with humor. It has more to do with just inconsistent tone throughout.
Yeah, I think maybe there's just like there's like a narrative focus for me that feels just a little strained and not quite.
I think having a vision of one person, Deborah Chow, for Obi-Wan is getting work to its benefit.
Yes.
It's funny because that's sort of something Kathleen Kennedy touches upon in her interview with
starting to give people their visions.
You got like, it. I think that's something that we've preached for a long time. And look, I'm no fucking genius. I haven't made the movies that Kathleen Kennedy has made. Who am I to question her decisions? But yeah. I think that the things that I enjoy the most are ones that have a cohesive thought and a cohesive vision throughout. And when it doesn't feel like that's happening, I enjoy those things less, personally.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, in Kathy's interview with Bresnikan, you know, she basically talks about how they have a roadmap. You know, she says that, you know, Tyka's story is going to fit more specifically into that. Mm-hmm. But she really goes into this thing about, and it segues into Favreau and how Favreau, the moment she contacted him, was just committed and was in and wasn't scared to, like, commit like more than a year and commit long term. And she really, really hammers home this thing about how they're going after creatives, you know, with the intention of, look, we need a longer term commitment here. And she knows that that's tough and really hard, especially with really good filmmakers. The nice thing about it with the new technology with Disney Plus and whatnot and The Void, it's, you know, Favreau's quoted as talking about like how, you know, they can shoot an entire season of television in half the time it normally takes. And half the time it even takes to do a movie. You know, granted, some people would say that, like, well, shorter is not always better. But the point is it's just because of the way that is able to, that particular thing, the set is able to, you know, speed everything up. And what I'm trying to get here is that's more enticing, right? The fact that it takes shorter times, that's more enticing to your creatives. That's more enticing to your actors. It's more enticing to directors and creatives. And so, you know, she basically said, look, you can't just come in here for a year and direct something and bounce. Like, you got to have a 3-5 year full blown, just like, commitment, you know? And so I think that's whether or not we've been preaching like a roadmap and all of that, you know, it's just they're pivoting, they're adjusting, you know, and they, I think, rightfully took that break in 2019, sort of clean house and figure it out.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, I think it's very clear. I mean, we've all, if we go back to our train, like, we always used to joke about how we get trained by the PR machine and the publicity, and we learn the routine of the marketing and the rollout. I think it's just, again, very telling that there's a Vanity Fair cover with all of the Disney Plus stars on it mm-hmm. being kind of carted out like a film.
Yeah.
And I think this... The week of the television upfronts, Mandalorian has made them mountains of cash yeah. as a franchise. And I think they're very confident in it. And I think, you know, I've always been one to say this. If you say, well, that's not my Star Wars, you're right. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to anyone. It did belong to George Lucas and he sold it. So it yeah. doesn't belong to him anymore. You know, it belongs to the shareholders. That's who it kind of belongs to now. So I think for me, it's just about taking one show at a time, finding what you love about it, engaging with it in a healthy, mature way. Like,
yeah.
you know, I really don't want to get into the fan discourse about this.
No,
I don't think,
at all.
I don't think we need to.
But I just want to say, like, it's just very telling to me that before any of this is even out, we're already fighting about it. Like,
yeah.
bro, are you
take
guys
a breath.
Well, I wanted to just, before we get into that, I want to say one thing. It is refreshing to hear Kathleen Kennedy say that bit about the commitment, because I think that that is so important and integral to the success of these things. However, I will also say that hopefully they are taking that to heart themselves, that they are committing to the filmmakers as well. And being willing to give them some leeway and work with them in a more productive way than has happened in the past, and has led to disillusions of relationships, has led to messes happening with movies. And we hope that there can be a common ground met on both sides so that we can get the just the best quality entertainment out of everybody.
Right. Well, and you know, she kind of touches upon that in this interview. She basically says, look, we want like the best creators out there, and we bring them in and we like, look, we have these guardrails that we're trying to hit these certain things, and we love your idea. Like, go, you know,
that to me is the only way that this lives for another 40 years.
Yeah.
Like getting people that are excited from all different backgrounds, all different walks of life, telling all different kinds of Star Wars stories and just going crazy, throwing paint at the wall, seeing how it splatters. If you came out and you're like, you know, someone there was like, hey man, I pitched a movie where an Ewok fucking battles Darth Vader for 6 episodes. I'd be like, all right. Like, let's give it a shot. Like, I think the more we can get away from the It's an interesting challenge because it needs to both be incredibly protected and precious while also taking the pressure off. And that's something that, unfortunately, I think in modern pop culture and fandom, it's very hard to do because, like, everything is... Our identities become so fused with, like, the culture and pop culture that we kind of engage with and take in. And, like... Hell, I mean, Cisco, you have this brand tattooed on your body. Like, you have a physical marking on your body that's like, hey, this means enough to me.
Damn, I just realized he's more hardcore of a Star Wars fan than us.
I'm so not.
He's a bigger Star Wars fan. He's a bigger Star Wars fan.
I don't have any
bigger, dude. Good job. High five. High five. Congratulations.
That's like the meter.
Getting the award made right now.
But now that we, you know, obviously this episode is going to be long, 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 but... You know, we want to talk about something that is precious that's coming up, and that is next week. The Star Wars property that has been in development the longest since Lucasfilm was purchased by Disney. The Kenobi was always the first thing put into it. It was the new trilogy and then Kenobi. We've seen 2 trailers, which we haven't talked about on the show at all. We've seen tons of photos. We've seen tons of press footage. Shout out to Danny Grunes shooting the shit out of those cool little vignettes with Ewan. Mm-hmm. How are we feeling about Kenobi, Cisco?
More excited now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I think that even after that first trailer, I was just kind of like, okay. But I think now starting to see, especially that behind the scenes stuff, not behind the scenes, but the vignettes with the,
I've missed the slow piano behind the scenes. They've been slacking on the like one piano note, the bong, bong, practical effects.
I will say this. There's no secret that I'm not a fan of prequel Anakin. And, but it is, we were just talking about this before we started recording, and it's Hayden Christensen's vibe right now is very refreshing.
Yes.
It makes you excited.
It makes me excited.
For him.
Yeah. And for the show, to be honest.
Right.
You're like, it makes me feel better about what we could be getting to see how like just relaxed he feels. He feels like comfortable.
He's good with it.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. Who knows what the show's going to end up being like, but it makes me feel like more positive.
You know when you like bump into a friend that's got something cool going on and they're just like fucking chill about it?
Yeah.
That's how it feels.
Yeah.
It feels like he's like... I saw a brief snippet. I don't remember what it wasn't on the official Star Wars thing. It wasn't Vanity Fair, but
like ET type.
Yeah, I was like one on the press junket. Yeah, and Ewan was just like, you know, we did those movies, like, you know, and he was just like, and we were very proud of them, and you know, at the time, all we heard about is how bad they were. Like, nobody really had anything nice to say to anyone.
And then we had to go do two more.
Yeah. Well, no, he talks all the way. He's like, basically through the whole thing, it was just like people were kind of like not feeling what we did on the prequels. At least that's what we thought.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
The prequels now?
No. Yeah. But just, can you imagine back then making episode one and then having to deal with the backlash for 3 years before the second one comes out, and you're just like, oh, you're just getting battered.
For 9 months out of the year, having to get up at 3 a.m. to go train.
And then he's
for even, the next one while you're getting the kicked out.
He even makes a reference to the green screen and blue screen in one of the vignettes. And he's probably just like, filming Attack of the Clones, he's got to be just like, the fuck am I doing?
Right. But I'm going to say it right now. If it wasn't for that, they wouldn't be doing it the way they're doing it now.
Correct. Oh, for sure.
And you want to talk about relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fucking relaxed because they're like, shit, now I've got the environments to act around. Now I can talk to real people. Now I can see what the hell is actually I'm looking at here.
For sure. And again, this is not a criticism of George Lucas or any of that. I mean, that was a product of its time. It had to be made that way at that time because there was no other technology available to be making anything differently. And yeah, I mean, to see what's happening now is the thing that we noticed when we first started doing the show, which is that the generation who grew up loving it, even if it wasn't necessarily for us, the generation that grew up loving it is so positive about it that it's rubbing off now. And so I'm assuming that that's part of the reason why they came back.
And that's basically what he goes on to say is he was like, you know, for years, all we did was hear about how much people hated it. And then he was like, it's been 20 years now since that first one. And all of the kids that loved it, that it was made for, are now so excited about them and the way people were excited about the original trilogy that he's like, it's kind of hard. Like, that is what made him want to come back. That's what's the thing that made all of them kind of realize, oh, we could probably do this again and people would be excited. It's funny because, like, in, you know, kind of to bring this full circle is, you know, 2 years of not being in the same room, first time recording a kind of Star Wars centric show in a good long while. I remember our very first episode. I literally made a joke.
Woof.
I made a joke. I think the joke was, Welcome to episode one of Black Series Rebels. And just like Star Wars episode one, this isn't going to live up to your expectations. Pretty funny joke. for a first episode, fucking pretty solid joke. But what's crazy, and I remember very clearly, somebody wrote in the comments, ripping on episode one, 1 minute in, no thank you. And they were like, done with our show. And I remember being like, well, that was like a harmless joke about the prequels. And then as we started to do the show more and meet more people and bring them on the show, and so many people were like, what's your favorite Star Wars movie? Attack of the Clones. And Steve and I would look at each other and go,
yep.
Oh, like six episodes in, I just look over at Alex. Like, I look at like Alex and I look at them, and I can't tell you how many times I go, really?
Yeah.
But you know what? I will say, you're probably about to say this, and I hope I'm not stepping on your toes, but I appreciate the fact that we have experienced that.
Agreed.
Oh, I was about to say, give me more of that yeah. good energy. That, like, just because it wasn't my thing at that time, and like I was part of that generation, was like, meh. Yep. Like, guys, give me more of this good energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me see the talent so just vibing off of that, and just everyone just so happy and good. Like, I'm all for that.
I think that might be the thing that bummed me out the most about episodes 8 and 9 is that we didn't get any of that. There didn't seem to be too much like just I loved it. Episode 8, there was a lot of like, I'm going to defend this with like all my heart. Sure,
there's a difference between defending something fiercely and loving something. And that's not saying there aren't people out there that love The Last Jedi. Like, everybody relax, put your keyboard away.
Yeah. It just became a sort of like jousting, you know, for both movies. And it was it didn't feel as fun as it did after episode 7.
You know, it's, and again, I don't want to get so highfalutin on like the fandom and how we engage.
It's not even really about the fandom, just the people that we interacted with and our experience with it.
Our experience was so positive with the people that love the prequels and the folks that love the original trilogy and love the sequel trilogy. We made a real conscious effort to really engage with people that engage with it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
But what I think is, again, like I keep kind of coming back to this idea of like, we've kind of taken this time off from just talking about Star Wars. We're walking into this new new convention in our city, you know, near us, real casual, going to go have a good time, see a lot of people that we're really good friends with that we still talk to all the time. We're going to get, I mean, in next week, I mean, Steve, there was a time, dude, where you and I would sit on our cell phones in line at a Toys R Us, basically next week. We'd be
at CVS running all over town just to get this dumb magazine.
Yeah, assuming that there might be a shot, like Cisco would be running to CVS's for us. We would be going to Walgreens. We'd be going to all the stores just to hope maybe there's some type of thing to get excited about. And like, you know, unfortunately, like everything in the world and everything around us, like, you know, even Star Wars couldn't survive the discourse of online culture. I mean, let's just be real. Like, everything has just gotten hacked into oblivion online. And I just know straight up, like, real talk, we're 45 minutes in. Like, I've fully cut social media pretty much out of my life, and I'm so much happier for it. Yeah. And I'm so much more excited for Star Wars because of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm excited for Kenobi because there's like a world where, like, for the first time in a long time, the three of us could get together and like watch them in this room together for the first time. Like, we could wait and do live reactions after. Like, these are things that we haven't been able to do in a very, I mean, man, remember we used to go see a movie and then we'd go record an episode like at midnight just to talk about it, just to get excited. So like, you know, and I only say this because like, I feel like a lot of the people that I've talked to, I only really talk about my takes in private via DMs, whatever's going on, if asked, like really. But the reason why I bring this last point up is I think everybody wants to feel that joy mm-hmm. about it anymore. And I think now when people are cynical and angry about it online, I think everybody just kind of goes, dude, there's way more daunting shit to be angry about mm-hmm. than whether or not there's a roadmap for the Star Wars movies. And that's not saying that like your interests aren't important and they shouldn't be great, but also like kind of like the George Lucas philosophy of like, this is for 12-year-olds kind of like needs to come back a little bit. Like this isn't, and you can kind of feel that like, I think everybody wants that a little bit. It's like, I don't know. I just want this to be, I don't want 3 more years of yelling at each other about Kenobi.
I mean, look, let's not kid ourselves. That'll be there. Yeah. It's just a matter of not whether or not we choose to participate in it. And we choose not to participate in it. And like a lot of people, they have a lot of fun doing it and that's what they do. And it fills their day. But at the end of the day, like we don't need to talk about fan discourse and we don't need to, you know, teach people about, it doesn't matter. Point is, we're not going to dip our toes in there. And we're just going to be stoked. And right now, I think it's safe to say we're all kind of stoked.
Yeah.
You know? Agreed. I'm really stoked. I'm really stoked that, like, you know, when I read that, like, like I, for the first time in God knows how long, had my own internal bad internet take on Kenobi today.
Oh, yeah?
Where, like, I said to Alex, I went, listen up. I got bad Steve internet take. Bad internet take. And he's like, hit me with it. And I just straight up went, I think Jar Jar is going to make an appearance in this, especially after the thing I showed you guys.
I think that's a given.
Okay.
That's a
given. Now here's where it gets really bad. So, one second here. Moses Ingram, she plays,
the Inquisitor,
the Inquisitor, right? I think she's working for Vader on the side. And I think that here's where I'm going to go crazy internet. I think somehow she's going to be the one that's related to Finn. And that's why Finn was hidden into the Empire
in, the first
in
order.
Some way in the First Order. And somehow she's going to have, it's sort of going to be a reverse kind of Luke Leia, but on the bad side where
he's a redemption.
Somehow she was part of the bad. Then I think at some point she's going to come around. Uh-huh. And
hold on, cowboy.
Let me build bad internet.
Okay, because
let's hear it.
Let me build bad internet, and then we'll have the storyteller tell us.
We're gonna do some math.
I can see the.
Notice I said somehow related. Somehow related. Uh-huh. Not necessarily saying she's mom or whatever. Somehow related.
He's a clone.
But I think there'll be a parallel sort of rhyming like poetry.
Dyad.
No dyads. Where. Somehow she is related with Finn. He's going to have to be thrown into hiding within the Empire because at some point she was part of working for Vader and then deflected from Vader at some point and turns good. And I just think that there's some nuggets there that,
okay.
You know, bad internet, guys. Bad internet.
So let me just throw this out there.
Okay.
Because I don't, you know, you might even, this might bum you out so That's much okay. that you cut this from the show.
That's okay.
Luke is a child uh-huh. in this. Yeah. And when we meet Finn,
yeah.
Luke is in his 60s.
I'm just saying somehow related.
So Finn would
like grandma, Finn would be
in 30 years. She would have to basically give birth.
Oh, I'm not saying mother.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying mother. I'm saying that's why I kept saying is somehow related and somehow.
Listen, I think that I don't know about
bad internet. Why does everyone have to be related to each other in Star Wars?
Exactly.
I'm just saying that's why like my brain started doing that thing I used to do. It used to drive you fucking nuts. Man, and right now everybody in real time is hearing you hold back how nuts you're going on the inside.
I mean, listen, I'm happy for you, man. I'm glad you had this moment. I think that realistically, that's not that's not the move. Let me tell you why I don't think that's the
move. It's not happening.
No, it's not. But the only reason I bring it up is to kind of circle back to kind of what Kathy's talking about here, which is like the goal right now is to expand. Yeah. It is to get this universe bigger broader, and more robust so that they have more avenues that they can take right now. When they say get away from the Skywalker saga, I think that means like straight up, we can't just have like the oak tree that is like, well, worst case scenarios, we can always go back to the trunk, which is Yoda, Luke, Chewbacca, C-3PO, R2.
Well, I think that's a safer route that they might try to go to tie things together than tying anything to the sequel trilogy. I don't see a world where they do anything that connects to people who have, as actors, probably tried to distance themselves from the things that they've done in those three movies.
I don't think
John Boyega wants to have anything to do with Star Wars right now. I don't think that
needs a break.
I don't think that Adam Driver wants to have anything to do with Star
Wars. Adam Driver's right now. Never doing another Star Wars thing ever.
Unless it's like in 30 years and he's
another entire generation that grew up loving those films and the energy's being thrown at them.
I could maybe see Daisy Ridley doing something, but out of those three main characters, I don't see two of the three having anything positive to say about their experience with Star Wars or want to do anything within Star Wars for a very, very, very long time.
I mean,
if at all.
And I think, you know, in keeping with our theme, they had to battle through a very complicated, difficult time in discourse. And
not even just the discourse, but in the actual production of the movie.
It's probably grueling. I mean, it was 7-8 straight years of making Star Wars movies. And in that time, Adam Driver became an Academy Award nominated actor.
He wasn't just the dude from Girls.
He wasn't just the dude from Girls anymore. You know, Daisy Ridley and John Boyega, you know, I think are still on the journey to really...
They're doing the Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson thing right now.
Yeah, I think that, you know, for me, John Boyega's best movie he's going to have come out is Attack the Block 2.
Do it.
Block 2 is going to be so good. I think there's a shot that Daisy might come back. But the truth is, and now because I know we're officially wrapping up, again, I go back to the cover of this Vanity Fair. See a lot of movie stuff on there? What is it? What's the tagline under Star Wars right there?
Well, the rebellion will be televised.
Televised. And what's going on?
And it says, inside the master plan for a fleet of new shows underlined.
New shows. And I know we're wrapping up, but I'm just going to throw them out here real quick. We're getting Ahsoka, Disney Plus 2023. We're getting The Acolyte, which is being done by Leslie Headland, who created Russian Doll, which apparently is going to take place 100 years before The Phantom Menace. And everything's going to be really shiny, quote unquote. We're getting a Star Wars Goonies, executive produced by John Watts and the gang, right? No, I'm not. I'm just letting you guys know that's being described as a galactic version of a classic Amblin coming adventure thing. Like, we got a lot in the pipeline here that's all kind of different, and it all feeds a different fan.
John Watts had three very successful movies come out.
Oh, I'm not. That's the one I'm the most excited for. Yeah. I'm just bummed because that's what I've always wanted to do.
Alex and I have texts from years ago of us talking about that and, you know, basically that sort of, if we were to pitch Star Wars, like that would be a thing. And I'm sure they've gotten that a ton of times from a ton of other people. That's pretty much all that we know about it. And that there's casting notices out to like, I want to say like 10 to 12 year olds or something, like four leads. You know, I'm shocked that Acolyte sounds interesting to me. Like,
I don't know what that is, but
it's a mystery thriller set in a prosperous and seemingly peaceful era when the galaxy is still sleek and glistening.
I think it's going to kind of be Star Wars Game of Thronesy. I think we're going to start having some twists and turns. I mean, all of this sounds great. Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm on the ride.
And hey, Taika's movie is going to be the first movie. As of right now,
I'm sure when they're ready to show me stuff for Star Wars movies, they will show me stuff for Star Wars movies. But I'm operating solely under the assumption, this is an assumption, that this will be front and center at Celebration. Yeah, there will be 100%.
It's definitely not going to be any talk about a Taika movie because they haven't even. Like Thor Love and Thunder isn't even out yet.
Yeah, there's just no reason to march him around, celebrate, unless they want to. I think I could see a world where Feige comes out on stage because he's just already a fandom nerd culture juggernaut that people will go ballistic for. I think there's going to be movie stuff.
You know, and he was one of the things that people talked about from this article. And, you know, in the article, she's like, you know, Anthony's like, you know, it was never officially announced, but Feige, you know, it's been rumored that he's got a Star Wars. And she just was like, love Kevin, would love to see his take, you know, blah, blah, blah. But at the moment, like, nothing. And then, like, I guess a week ago, now granted, this interview was done in March, but I guess a week ago, I don't know his name, but he did an interview, maybe with Vanity Fair, saying that he was currently writing Feige's Star Wars movie. People were in an uproar about it. It doesn't matter. We're not talking about
What's the tagline say?
Exactly. A fleet of new shows.
Fleet of new shows. Exactly. The Rebellion will be televised.
You know, I don't even think Feige will come out at Celebration.
There's no fucking need.
Look at that. Look at that Vanity Fair photo.
Here's what I will say.
You got Ewan. You got Diego. You got a fucking Rosario. Like,
here's what I will say.
Anything else?
Here's what I will say. I bet if you get into the Kenobi panel or whatever, I've even looked at the panels because I'm just not going to do any of them because they live stream all of them. I bet there's some treats though.
I'm at best.
There's going to be some treats.
I'm at best. I'll be there.
There's going to be some treats. All right. Well, I think that's a great place to wrap up. I think that we are not bad. An hour and six, that could have been.
Trust me, that could have been real beefy.
If you saw these beefy
real
notes.
Real beefy.
You guys, we're going to be at Star Wars Celebration next week. We're going to be celebrating all things a galaxy far, far away.
See you guys at Portillo's.
We're for sure getting Portillo's, no question. We got to go
definitely
to Portillo's.
Not in Bellflower.
Not in Bellflower. Buena Park.
Yeah, we're gonna go to Portillo's in Buena Park, even though we're not doing Celebration Chicago. Although there is a part of me that's like, we maybe should do In-N-Out because that feels like the more California treat to have.
Proper.
But I'm sure we'll find something delicious. I'm excited to see all of you at Mosh Eisley. Just a reminder, if you already have tickets, good, because it is sold out. May 28th, Mosh Eisley at Chain Reaction in Anaheim. We are going to be moshing, dancing, celebrating a galaxy far, far away. The first 150 people in line to come through the door will get an exclusive, unreleased, action figure-inspired pin with everybody's favorite space wizard pinned to the card. That's all I'm going to say. If you've made it this far, you know it's going to be sick. Check out social media. We're going to have some pictures of it soon. With that being said, guys, Cisco, where can the people find you at home?
Cisco Kid with 2D77 on Twitter.
Steve, where can the people find you?
At Rex Manning on Twitter.
You can find me in this room tomorrow lighting a candle to get this beefy smell out. With all that being said, we'll see you next time on BSR. Later.
Guys, I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with that little baby shit.